Welcome to Media Mavens,
a bi-weekly podcast where we discuss our favorite
or not so favorite
movies, shows, and games.
I'm Pam.
I'm Riley.
Let's get started. Hello and welcome to Media Mavens. This is our 10th episode, a little mini milestone. I am Pam, and with me as always is Riley.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I forgot that it was our 10th episode.
It feels like we've been doing it for a while, but I guess since we only do it every second week, the numbers are low still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with us today to talk about Overwatch is our friend Sabriel. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to have you here. As we were talking about before, we've known each other forever, but haven't talked before.
Yeah, it's crazy how that happens, especially on the internet these days.
Yes. So you are a writer and YouTuber and gamer. Did you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Goodness, you got a lot of the basics there right now.
I spoiled it.
Yeah, I started getting into games writing about 3-4 years ago now and fell in love with the scene. I enjoyed doing it. And going to trade events, meeting people, and talking to people about their games, and coming back and reporting on it. I think it's a lot of fun. I also love to support other women in media or in gaming, and pretty much anywhere I can.
That's awesome. And so you write for indie games?
I don't really have a specific outlet right now. I have written for Indie Haven and Indie Gamer Check, and talking to a few other people here and there, just kind of waiting for something to happen here. But
right,
yeah, freelance.
How is the freelance life?
One of these days I'll get paid. One of these days.
Yeah, that's how I always feel. I think that's probably why I write less now, because everyone I sort of hang out with on Twitter and everything, it's like, get paid if you're going to write. And I'm like, No one's going to pay me. I'm not going to write anymore.
Yep.
All right, so we may as well start off with what we've been up to lately. Sabriel, did you want to start out?
Sure. So games I've been playing lately. We started up at the beginning of this year is called the 12 and 12 Challenge. And what you do is you go through your games list and see something that you've had there for quite a while, but you haven't actually touched. It's called the 12 and 12 here. So every month you pick one game, give it a shot, see if you can beat it if you do like it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a great way to go through the backlog, because a lot of people, how many times have you told yourself, I don't know what to play, I have so many games, or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Or you go and look at your Steam list and there's just so many things there that you can't decide, and then you just play something you played 100 times.
Yeah. So I find if you start out and you make a list of, I'm going to try this in this month, it's much easier. So this month for July, it was Kerbal Space Program. And good Lord, I'm having so much fun with that. I really wish I would have picked it up sooner. Sending my little Kerbals up into space. I haven't actually gotten to, what do they call it, Moon or Mun yet. But just getting them up into space and seeing what I can build and hopefully not killing them. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about that, but I haven't tried it myself.
I highly suggest it if you have it in your log or if you see it on sale. It's a blast. It kind of seems daunting at first because they will throw everything at you at once, and like tutorials and whatever. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to understand this. But if you go to the career mode or science mode, it actually does it piecemeal. So it makes sense.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then, of course, Overwatch has been my life for the last month or two.
I think that'll be a common theme.
So that's what I've been playing lately. Let's see. So things I've been watching. So Netflix has a Netflix original called A Very Secret Service. And I saw this on my list and it said, you'd probably like this. So I'm like, okay, I'll give this a shot. So it turns out it's a French show with subtitles. And what it is takes place in 50s or 60s France, just after the war. And they have a new recruit and you kind of follow him as he goes through the service and sees what it's like being a spy in that time. And it's part comedy, part drama, and I thought it was amazing. I don't want to give any spoilers by talking about it too much, but I think if you're a fan of like Mad Men or spies or like James Bond, the classic Bond, you'll really get a kick out of this show.
Oh, that sounds cool. I don't think Netflix has suggested that to me yet. Although, I mean, if it's Netflix original, it should be on Canadian and American.
I would think so.
But yeah, I'll have to check that out. Although sometimes I have trouble paying attention to one thing, so subtitles are sometimes difficult for me.
Let's see. I just wrapped up Archer season 6, and I don't know if either of you watched that or not.
No.
I've watched one or two episodes of the first season, but that was it.
Didn't click for you, or just didn't get to it? Yeah,
it's didn't click, really.
I can see that. And season 6, I think it's kind of, the show's kind of waning, but I had kind of fun. It was still fun while I'm eating dinner and goofing around. And finally, I'm doing a rewatch of Star Trek The Next Generation. I just finished DS9, kind of going out of order. Mm-hmm. And seeing these old shows, episodes that I haven't seen in probably 20 years.
Oh, that's cool. I've seen a few seasons of The Next Generation. I think the first, I don't know, 3 or 4. Uh-huh. How many are there?
There's 7.
5? 7? Okay, yeah. It's pretty good. I really like the holodeck.
Hey, me too. It gets so much hate on the internet, but I love the holodeck.
Mm-hmm. Do you have who's your favorite Star Trek captain?
Oh, goodness. I get asked this question I can never answer because each one has their own qualities I like. I just finished Deep Space Nine, so right now I'm going to say Sisko. Hmm. But, you know, that can change in any given day or maybe even hour.
Yeah. Favorites do that for me as well. So, Riley, what have you been up to?
Like Sabriel, I've been playing Overwatch. Mm-hmm. And actually... last night, I went into the competitive mode of Overwatch and did my placement games. So that was interesting. We'll probably get more into that, so I won't expand on that here. And then I've been playing Pokemon Go more. Mm-hmm. And because we just moved, we have like this walking route that we can take now that goes like kind of downtown into Brampton, and then if you turn down the main street, there's, I don't know, 6 or 7 Pokestops like all close together. And the Sunday after we moved, we went down there, and every single one of those Pokestops had a lure, and there were like crowds of people, so many people, I couldn't believe how many people there were, like out like catching Pokemon and hearing people like walking behind me saying things like, "Oh, it's just another Rattata," or "Oh my god, like it was really like surreal." It was like a weird experience, but at the same time, I loved it because we were just kind of like, "Yeah, Pokemon." We just like sat in between these like 3 Pokestops and like waited, and like there's the city square is really nice in Brampton, so there's like a Starbucks and like a couple other different cafes around, so we just went and got a coffee and like sat and caught Pokemon, and it was really nice. And yeah, so I'm really enjoying Pokemon Go, you know, for all its faults that they are doing currently with the tracking system. And then because we've been playing Pokemon Go, I decided to start watching the original Pokemon anime again. And it's funny because, like I remember watching it like after school, and so like having these episodes come on one after the other, they're only like 20 minutes, so it's easy to watch a lot of them all in a row. But it's like super nostalgic. I love it.
I never, really watched or played any Pokemon when I was younger. But Will just start singing the song. And the first time he did it, I had no idea what he was talking about.
Was he singing the poker rap or the theme song?
The theme song.
Okay.
He didn't know the poker rap. Because I had heard the poker rap on another podcast, but he didn't know that one.
Yeah, the nice thing about the poker rap is, so it used to air 5 days during the week, and at the end of each episode, they would include part of the poker rap, so you would gradually learn it, and then at the end of the week, they would do the whole poker rap, so, yeah. and then, of course, I finished Stranger Things, which was awesome. And because I'm super into like tabletop gaming and stuff right now, it was so awesome seeing D&D on there.
I thought of you when I watched it the first time.
Yeah.
So this show, all I know is people talking about like the font on the internet and something about the 80s. Yes. I don't know nothing else about this show.
Oh, it's like a real 80s throwback show. Like it reminds me, E.T. is the thing that it reminds me the most of, but it's just like a group of young boys having adventures. One of them disappears, and then like the small town sort of tracking down what's happening to him. And then there's like this mysterious like corporation who's doing these scientific tests. And it's really cool. Like it's just a complete 80s throwback. So like the Amblin Entertainment movies.
Is it a drama, comedy, horror?
It's a drama horror.
Suspenseful.
People have said that it's been really scary. I didn't particularly find it scary, but it had some like sort of creepy otherworldly elements.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like I tried watching the first episode by myself. I won't say anything like spoilery, but it was late at night and it was dark and I was like, I'll just watch this. And I was by myself, and then I got halfway through the episode, and I was like, no. I better not. And then I was like, nah, I'm scared. And so I just turned it off.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a baby when it comes to, like, horror things. I'll watch them, but I'll watch them through my fingers. And then I went to see Star Trek Beyond by myself. That's the first time I've seen a movie by myself in a theater before, and that was an awesome experience. And then the movie itself was so good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear that. You loved it. I
liked the first two, and I know a lot of people don't. So I went in there like expecting to like it. And it was like it was different than the first two. I'm not a big like Star Trek person. I just started watching The Next Generation. Like I'm maybe 4 or 5 episodes in. I'm slowly learning about all of the older episodes and how, you know, the older shows and how the movies are so different, like the new ones especially. And I can see why fans of the old stuff didn't really like the first two. The new Star Trek movies, but this one seemed really good. Like, it wasn't super focused on just Kirk, which was nice. Like, you got to see, like, Bones and Spock together, mm-hmm. like, doing stuff. And their interactions are probably the best part of the movie, to be honest.
Oh, that's good. Bones is Carl Urban?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah. Me too.
There's a character named Jayla in Beyond. Yes. And every time I see it written out, I think of Pam because of her Twitter name.
Oh. He's very similar, yeah. Yeah, she was great too. Like the whole, it was fantastic. I loved every second of it.
That's good. I'm glad because I know people were really upset about the trailer, which,
oh gosh.
I
mean,
the trailer doesn't do it justice at all.
Nope.
All right.
No.
That's good.
Yeah. It's like they picked probably the worst, and it like worst is like a general term, but they picked probably the worst parts to represent what that movie is like. Oh, it's a lot better than the trailer gives it credit for. So
good.
Yeah. What have you been up to, Pam?
Well, I was making a video about my top 5 PlayStation 2 games. So I played like just 5 PlayStation 2 games for like a few minutes each to record some footage. And just a general comment I wanted to make about PlayStation 2 and how weird the controllers are. I played Shadow of the Colossus and Beyond Good and Evil. So spoiler, those are 2 of my 5 favorites. And they had me do this weird thing where generally I'm a Y-axis inverter on everything. And in these games, I had to invert the X-axis and leave the Y-axis alone. And it was so weird and it made it so awkward to play all the games. And it does all these weird things. Like in Fatal Frame or in Beyond Good and Evil, there's like a camera mechanic. And so usually you look around with the right stick and you move with the left stick. And except when you go into the camera, you look around with the left stick and you move with the right stick. Wow. And it's so weird.
I had forgotten entirely.
I totally forgot too, because for a long time PlayStation was sort of like, PlayStation 2 was second nature to me, but now I don't know if these games are an outlier or if the whole control scheme of games has changed since then, but it was just really weird.
I'm trying to think of games that like change the like movement mechanics when you go into like a vehicle or something, because it sounds familiar when you're talking about it, but I can't think of one specifically.
Yeah, I can think. I can't think of more specifically, but I know there are some where you go into a vehicle and like you, I have my y-axis inverted, and then I go into a vehicle and then it's not anymore, and it gets really difficult to play. But it's just weird, and I wanted to comment on that. I also played this game called Hero Defense Haunted Island, which is something I picked up during the last Steam sale. And it's a tower defense game, which is a genre that I sort of historically haven't played a lot of, but I've been really liking all the ones that I've tried so far. So it's about a guy hunting a vampire who's his father, and you end up with five different heroes, and they each have their own special ability. So like the guy with the crossbow is really good at single target damage, and then there's like a little girl who lobs flaming pumpkins, and one who freezes and slows enemies. So it's just sort of like a strategy game of placing your heroes in the right spot to kill all the enemies coming on a certain path towards like a tower that you have to defend, basically.
Interesting.
So it was really fun. So, I also yesterday got a copy of No Man's Sky.
What?
No way.
Not because I'm special in any way, just because I know people who break Street Date.
Oh, I want to play it so bad.
So, I started playing it yesterday, and I don't know if either of you know, there's this mobile game that I really like, and it's called Out There.
No, I don't know it.
No.
Well, that game is actually like a sort of survival, almost roguelike game where you're in a spaceship and you're trying to get home, and you have certain resources, like you need to make fuel and you need to like reinforce your hull so that you can make jumps through space and things like that. And No Man's Sky reminds me a lot of that game, except obviously it's like a first person, very expansive thing as compared to a mobile game. But it's a lot of like finding resources and making new things and finding cool little monuments and things where you learn bits of other languages and bits of history of the planet you're on. And so I played an hour or two. I got off my first planet, and it was really, really cool going into space for the first time.
That's cool.
I was really excited when that happened. But yeah, it's good. I'm glad, because everyone's been sort of hyping No Man's Sky for such a long time, and I still like didn't understand really what it was. I just knew that everyone was talking about it, so I think it's pretty cool. But
good,
yeah, yeah. I think it'll be cool. I've named a planet after myself. So I think that's about all I've been playing. Obviously Overwatch, but we'll talk more about that later. I watched the MasterChef Australia finale, finally, after like 65 episodes of the show. Oh, it ended, and it was so good. The final two were really good. When they got to the final two, they brought out their families, and of course I just like cried through that entire episode, because it's so, they're so nice, and like, they hadn't seen their families in so long, and the contestants are just so nice and supportive of each other. But in the final challenge that the final two had to do, it was this pressure test, which means that they bring a famous chef, who in this case was Heston Blumenthal, and they have to recreate a dish that he made. So the dish was this, like, egg. It looked like an egg on a nest that you crack open, and then it looks like an egg, except it's not an egg, it's a dessert with like mousse and ice cream and like tempered chocolate glaze sitting on like a pastry nest with like with like sponge sugar and stuff like that, and it was a 5.5 hour challenge recreate this dish.
And my mouth is watering right now just thinking about this.
Yeah, it was really good. They have such amazing things. Like, I think about how I tried out for MasterChef Canada, and just like seeing the things that these people do, I'm like, God, it's good I didn't make it, because I could never do any of these things.
I feel like they have to get some like behind the scenes tips on like, here's how to properly like make a mousse or something. I don't cook.
Yeah, well, they're sort of like learning as they go, but just like, especially in terms of plating and things, like, I think plating is sort of my weakest area, and everyone just makes everything look so pretty.
Yeah.
Other than that, I watched Stranger Things, which we talked about a little bit. Yeah. I finished season 2 of Jane the Virgin, which, have either of you watched that?
I never have. Nope.
I don't think so.
No? It's really good. It's like this telenovela inspired show, so it's very sort of dramatic. Even the premise, which all happens in the first episode, you start with Jane, who is a virgin, and she has a boyfriend, and on a routine trip to the gynecologist, she gets accidentally and artificially inseminated and ends up pregnant.
I had no idea the concept of this show. Interesting.
And then to make things worse, the man whose sperm she's been inseminated with and his wife, they're trying to have a baby. She was supposed to be the one that got inseminated with it, and he had cancer, so this is like his last chance ever to have a baby. So she's so Jane, you know, decides to keep it, obviously. And it sort of just goes on from there, and it gets more and more ridiculous as it goes. There's like crime lords and murder plots
oh my goodness,
evil twins, and
it's
really, really good. And one of the main draws is just the character Jane is so like positive and honest, and even though everything around is like really crazy, there's this central relationship with her and her mother and her grandmother, and to just have this like great family relationship amidst all this madness, sort of.
Wow.
So that's a really good show. I definitely recommend it to anyone. And then the last thing I watched was The Jinx, which is about, oh, I forget his name now, Robert something.
Based on a true thing?
Yeah, it's a true crime. Let me look up his name. Because after Making a Murderer came out, I think Sarah talked about this one, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst. So it's a guy who was suspected of killing his wife, who disappeared, and then sort of all these other murders sort of happened near him. And finally, there was one, his neighbor was killed, and he actually went to trial for that one, but got off on self-defense, even though after he apparently accidentally killed his neighbor, he chopped up his body and threw it in the bay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So it's just, so this guy, Durst, agreed to be interviewed by these filmmakers. So there was interviews with him combined with sort of some investigative journalism. And it ends on this like amazing cliffhanger, which sounds like a weird thing for a true story, but it's pretty cool. And then immediately after, I was like, what happened? I had to like go to the internet, find out what happened. But it was a pretty good one. It sort of got better as it went. It's only 6 episodes, I think.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Lengthwise.
Yeah. And I think that's it for what I've been watching.
Right on.
So we can move on to our main topic of the show, which is Overwatch. And I think we've mentioned Overwatch on every single episode we've done so far.
Pretty close, if we haven't.
Yeah, but we've never actually really gotten into it. So for anyone who's not playing Overwatch or who doesn't know, It's a team-based multiplayer first-person shooter. In it, you get teams of six, and you go head-to-head and battle over objectives, like capturing a point or escorting a payload. Something that's a little bit different is that there's no traditional deathmatch mode, which there tends to be in online shooters, although most people don't know that and treat every match like a deathmatch anyway. and then I think the big draw is just the hero characters, of which there are 22, I think.
Yep, 22.
And they're all just very unique. They've got a unique set of abilities. They're all visually very distinct. They're just very colorful. They say cute little dialogue lines. So I think that's the big draw to Overwatch. I mean, I think that's something that Blizzard does really well, is make characters that people care about, even though there's not actually a lot of in-game character development.
Yeah.
They've made a lot of characters that people have really latched onto in the short time the game has been out.
Yeah, it's really interesting about this one. It's such a diverse cast of both women and men, and even robots. Varying degrees.
And a gorilla.
Yep, and a gorilla. And something you don't
see in
many
games. He's not a gorilla, he's a scientist.
That's right.
That's true.
Just an amazing diverse cast that a number of people have just latched onto, and there's like all these different fictions and fan fictions and slashes and artwork and all this amazing stuff for all these different characters to follow online. It's kind of fun. It's a lot of fun, actually.
There's so much good fan fiction, by the way. So good.
So have you both been playing since the start or since beta?
I played in a little bit in the beta. I didn't get in until the later eras, but otherwise, since launch, I'm almost every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think, when did, I got into the beta later on as well, but I don't remember exactly when it was, but it's not, like, I'll go on, like, spurts of playing, like, a ton of days in a row, and then I won't play for, you know, like a week or so, and then it'll be like a weekend, and I'll be like, well, I don't know what to do. A bunch of my friends are online, so might as well jump in with all of them and we'll play Overwatch. And then, so it kind of comes in like fits and starts, but it's like, it's one of those games where you don't need to be playing it every day if you don't have to, like, or if you don't want to, because there's not really anything you can fall behind on.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've only really been playing it for a couple weeks.
It hasn't been very long.
No, I picked it up on PS4 very briefly, maybe a month ago, and only played a couple days and then took it back. And then I just picked it up on PC maybe 2 weeks ago, if that.
Do you prefer it on PC? Like, what's the difference?
It's mainly the controller, although you can use a controller on PC if you want. I just find controllers easier to use. I know they're not as accurate for things like aiming, but in terms of, like, making sure I'm going to press the correct button when I want to use an ability, I find controllers much easier. But now that I sort of have gotten used to it, PC is good. The only thing is that I have to sit in a chair instead of on my couch.
I find I know a couple people that got it on PlayStation. Like my brother, he bought it on PlayStation, but because there's so many people that I already know on Battle.net, like on the computer, from playing like World of Warcraft or even Heroes of the Storm, it's like, what platform is everybody getting it on? Oh yeah, PC, because it'll just go along with, you know, everything else that's on the PC right now. So,
right.
I don't know. It was hard to choose, but like in the end, most of my friends are playing on PC. So,
yeah, I think that's definitely true.
Well, it just kind of happens after we've been playing Blizzard fangirls for how many years and have this huge friends list.
Yeah. There's some people I don't even know who they are on my friends list at this point.
It's been so long.
Yeah. From like 5 years ago, there's somebody on there like, I remember you, but who are you? I don't know.
I was kind of surprised that my progress or my level didn't carry over when I came to PC. Because, I mean, obviously that's not cross-platform, but I had to sign into my Battle.net and everything on the PlayStation. So I thought I would be able to keep anything I'd gotten there.
You think you'd be able to, I don't know, have that crossover somehow.
That is interesting. Mm-hmm. But they must have just thought it was just such a different experience for the two platforms that not the same to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's the same with Diablo. There's no...
True, yeah.
Sharing between there. All right. So I'm just going to hop right into a question to start things off. And it's from Green Mushroom, also known as Void. Who's your favorite character and why, and which character just doesn't click with you at all?
I'll go first.
That's a hard question.
For me, my favorite character is Tracer. I think she's adorable. I used the ultraviolet skin, which was basically like a British punk little brat.
The cutest.
And she's very happy and cheery and let's go. Yeah. And that's kind of me too. Mm-hmm. So her and I click very well. I actually started making a cosplay gun of hers. I had a little break there. But yeah.
Awesome.
And I also have spiky goggles like that version of the character has.
And so, oh my gosh. That is so cool.
And so I just got to get some black lipstick and basically be able to cosplay as Tracer whenever I want.
Oh, frick. That's so sweet.
Another character I just love is Zarya. She's a big tank.
I like her.
Russian gal. And she has this... pink short hair, pink nails, and she's handsome as all get up and just awesome.
Mm-hmm. I love her. And she's fun to play too.
Yes.
I remember when she came out and it was there's a strong woman in this game, and I was surprised, and I remember a lot of people being just instantly falling in love with her because she was a different body shape and a different, she's just so different from what you usually see, in games for women, the body types.
Oh, absolutely. Anyway. I was actually at the PAX event where they announced it. I was oh my gosh, this is so cool. And I got to actually play with it as her that day.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so much fun. And I loved her ever since. And it was really kind of cool at first when launched, no one knew how to play her. I was the one person who's always as Zarya, so that was cool. Who are some of your favorites?
I'm also a little partial to Tracer, but I don't play her as much. In terms of favorite character to play, I probably would go with Pharah. She's pretty much my go-to. But then if I'm doing defense, I'll play Torbjorn instead. and he's a bit of... a shitty character in terms of things that he says, but he's honestly one of my favorite characters to play, just because a lot of people expect you to kind of sit by your turret and just sit there healing it up or standing by it, but I like to run around the map and try and harass people into the site of my turret. And then you can collect armor pieces, scrap pieces, and then turn them into armor packs for your teammates. So he's a sort of support defense character. And I love playing him. He's my shitty Swedish asshole. In terms of just favorite character overall, probably Tracer. She's the greatest. She's just so cute, and her new skins are even so perfect. And she zips all over the map, and a good Tracer is the worst thing for the enemy team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a good harasser. It's she's awesome.
When I started playing, I didn't come up against any good Tracers, so I was yeah, and I freeze her and she dies. Yeah. But now I'm coming up with all these good Tracers, and it's a real pain in the ass. Or you're way away from the point, and everyone's in a firefight, and then it's your point is being taken. It's what? Yeah. Who is that? Oh, goddamn, a Tracer. my favorites are, I have two. I love Anna.
Oh, she's so cool.
she's the newest character, and although I didn't start playing until she came out, so I really love her. Apple Cider wrote a good article about why she is important and how she's, you know, first of all, a woman of color, and she's also a mom and, you know, an older woman kicking ass, which is something you really don't see a whole lot in video mm-hmm. games. But just in general, like, I love her skill set. Like, I love shooting people to heal them. I'm not a particularly good sniper, but I, like, no-scope it 100% of the time. I like that I can heal people, but I can also do a fair amount of damage. Some of the other healers, I feel like I'm not contributing anything but healing. And I love that sleep dart. Being able to, like, sleep something mm-hmm. coming at you right when it's popped its ultimate, that's, like, the best
so
thing.
So satisfying.
And I also... one of the first things I got was a voice line for her, and it says, "Children behave." And then there's also a, like, the disapproving emote, and like, that's me. I'm not a mom, but that's me. And then my other favorite is May.
Oh, she's adorable.
She's adorable, and she's also super annoying. God, like, yep. Running up to someone and just, like, spraying your freeze gun in their face, and they can't do anything about it.
The worst feeling is seeing her freeze yeah. you, and you're sitting yeah. there watching her aim her shot right
yeah.
your head.
Yeah.
She takes yeah. her turn, lines it up, and you're like, no.
Yeah, I love that. And then her other weapon mode is pretty strong as well, and then those ice walls are just amazing for defense, especially on certain maps.
And for annoying your own team, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I worry about that. Like, oh, what if I'm blocking someone's shot? It's like, nope, we're on defense. I don't care.
That's right.
You can also, like, it works like the zombie walls in Heroes of the Storm where you can hit it again and it'll fall
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
I don't yeah. think a lot of May players know
that. Oh, really?
No. I was, like, trying to... I think I was playing Mercy and one of the... May's put up a wall, and I was flying to someone, and I was like, "May, bring the wall down." And they were just like, "I can't.
Oh, oh,
I think you can. Ah, oh, you're killing me."
So, how about least favorite characters? Is there one that you either don't like playing, or just one you don't like in general?
For me, I can play them all, but my least favorite. I looked at my time. I think at the moment, my least played is Hanzo. Or either any of the snipers except for Anna are such a low player. I'm horrible at sniping. I don't have that reflex of, oh, in my sights, click. Just mm-hmm. me, it's just spray and pray.
Yeah, I also don't have the just like the environmental awareness to like look for people to shoot and at the same time make sure no one's behind me.
Right, right. I suppose if I would play Hanzo, if the Hanzos I go against are any indication. If I were to play Hanzo, I just need to shoot in the general direction of the enemy yeah. and I'll get a headshot.
That's what it feels like.
So yeah, he's my worst.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I don't like Reaper, and I am not very good with him.
Oh, the Edgelord.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm so bad. I'm so bad at Reaper.
One of my favorite things about Reaper is actually Tracer. Okay, so Reaper has a line. He's like, "Death comes." Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you kill him as Tracer, she'll mock him and go like, "Death comes." It's adorable.
It's so great. I've heard it a couple times. It's so good.
I don't really like the melee characters. Winston is one that I don't understand at all, partially because I just don't play him very much. Who's the other one? Genji.
Oh, yeah.
Genji was actually kind of fun, but he moves so fast. Like, he makes me feel really old. Like, my eyes don't track across the screen that fast. Like, when I see someone else get a play of the game on him and they're using his ult, I'm like, how do you even know what's going on in the screen? Yeah, and then the character that I just don't like is Bastion. I wish Bastion did not exist.
See, the only time I play Genji is when there's a Bastion on the other side so I can deflect his bullets back.
Yeah, he's just such a pain in the butt, just sitting there mowing everything down. But then at the same time, if someone on your team is playing him, they just, like, expect you to babysit him. So, like, I don't know. I don't like him. I feel like he brings things down. This being an online multiplayer shooter, how do you guys find the environment has been? Like, is it as toxic as, like, the Counter-Strike fan base, or has it generally been a positive experience?
For me, overall, it's been neutral to positive. I've actually met a number of people in-game. I just started grouping with them, or I met them in solo queue in competitive play, and I'm like, oh, you're a pretty cool player, so add them as a friend. And a lot of nights when I'm playing late, they're online, we group up and kick a lot of butt. I've also had experiences where get dudes who are like, oh my god, it's a chick on our team. About a week ago, I had one harassing me, going, are you a girl? Are you a girl? And it's a really annoying voice. And like, well, that's a mute.
Yeah.
And then just the other night, I had one like, what's wrong with your voice? And like, I'm your healer. Yeah. I'm your team. Do you really want to piss me off? Like, well, that was a mute. And like, some dude just like, oh, is it just a joke? I'm like, yeah. Nope.
Yeah, just a joke that we hear all the time.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So, but overall, I've actually had a really good experience. It's been quite pleasant.
Yeah, that's been my experience so far. Since I just started playing competitive mode yesterday, the only difference that I noticed was that I was more stressed because I was like, I have to do a good job because I don't want people to, like, start shitting on me and, like, but I never joined the voice chat, so that's an experience that I didn't have, just because I was worried about what was going to be there. But I only really encountered a couple shitty people, and it was followed by their teammates saying things to them like, okay, that's uncalled for. And for the most part, it was all random people. You can see the groups of people now, which is a nice addition. But yeah, overall, it's been pretty good. In quick play specifically, there's been a few like trolls where people will deliberately try and screw up their team.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that in competitive play. Granted, I've only played 10 games, so I'm sure that there's some somewhere. But in quick play, if I can, I prefer to go with people so that there's, you know, losing doesn't suck as much if it happens. But yeah, I mean, with my limited experience in competitive play, I didn't find it too different, except that I was more like panicking. And I was like, am I playing the right character? I don't know. But overall, it's been good.
I found that for quick play, it's generally been pretty good. Occasionally, there's some dummy in just, like, the text chat who's saying stupid things. But generally, it's okay. My very first competitive mode match, I picked Anna. And, like, the first thing, I didn't even realize that I was in the voice chat. The first thing, someone's like, hey, retard, how about not Anna? I was like,
wow.
Yeah. Yep. So he bothered me, but I didn't switch because at that point I'm just like, no, fuck you. I'm going to be Anna forever. But so it went on like that. And then it just like the one guy who was like actually using shitty words and then the one other guy who was berating me as well, just without the cursing, just like switch from Anna. Use your alt and then switch. And I was just like ignoring them and just like typing hearts in the chat.
I love that response.
But yeah, so that sort of was a poor introduction to competitive mode. Generally, it's been okay. There's been three groups that were like nice enough on voice chat that I actually said something on voice chat, because generally I just don't talk at all because I don't want to deal with people's bullshit, basically.
Yeah.
But it's been okay. I guess there's been a few trolls. Like, Will had someone. He was playing a competitive match, and he had a Symmetra on his team dropping the portals off cliffs.
Oh, yep, I had that one in one competitive match.
People do that! Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, against their own team, even.
Oh,
like,
that's horrible. It's funny, but it's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I like playing in competitive just because, like, I don't even know why. Like, I do so much worse in competitive than I do in quick match, but I just, like, I'm like a Sephiroth clone. I'm like, tell me my number. but it's just, like, I don't know, because I like playing Anna so much, and since people in competitive are like, well, the pros don't play Anna, you can't play her, and just, like, I just get harassed every time I play her. It's like, we're rank 40. Like, you're not a pro. Shut the fuck up.
Like, that's one thing that bugs me about the competitive mode is people who take to heart the metagame of the pro players. It's like, if you're not picking Zenyatta or Lucio to heal, you're a bad. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
This res will probably do much more for this team.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like, a lot. Like, I don't really pay any attention to the pro scene or keep up to date on the information. I feel like the game is generally fairly balanced, so I don't feel like there's any person that you should definitely never play in a game. I mean, there's some obviously that are better for attack versus defense,
right.
But you know, it's not like, oh no, you picked this player, you're terrible.
Yep, it's not like you're gonna lose because one person is playing that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't understand, like, if they're like, oh, pick this one, but it's like, what if you're not any good at that one? And they're like, okay, well, you want me to pick this character? I'm going to be the shittiest one you've ever seen. But I'll do it if that's what you want. And then, like, yeah. And it's like, well, I play in the character that you want, so I don't know.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the sort of amount of player feedback that's available? I mean, there is something you can get, sort of your own personal stats, and then at the end of the game you can see medals for how you did in comparison to everyone, but there's no real scoreboard that shows you how everyone in the match is doing.
I'm happy it's not there, because a lot of the characters played, the way a lot of characters play, it's not necessarily about how many kills you get, which a lot of people is your default to. Like, sometimes Tracer, I just cannot get any kills, but I'm harassing them enough where they're paying attention to me, or I'm just poking them enough where a poke is just when you shoot at them in general, and poking at them enough where their shields can't regenerate. And, like, little things that can help. Like, and that is not going to show on a kill screen or a kill board. Or scoreboard, that's the word. So I'm glad it's not there.
That's a good point, since there are so many characters who offer different kinds of utilities. It's not just like your general damage, kill, death, whatever. Like, it would be a number, like, way too many different things to show for everyone. Occasionally I feel like if I'm playing Anna and I want to nano boost someone, it would be nice to be like, who's doing the most? I'm gonna give it to them.
Yeah.
But it also, I think, makes for a little bit more of a positive environment, that you're not just seeing a number to represent how someone's playing and then have people determine that they're terrible and they should be harassed for it.
Right. And of course, you get the one dude who's always, well, I've got 3 golds on this, so that means I'm better. Why are you telling me to do this other thing? Yeah. But
I saw my first person doing that the other day. I was like, dude, the medals don't matter.
Yeah.
It's like, good job, Bastion. You got a lot of damage. It's like, we're still losing.
They're taking the points.
Yeah. Now, how do you feel about the play of the game?
I don't know. I like it when it's me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I almost wish that you could give it to other people, because there have been times where like a Zarya or something will set up like an incredible like team kill or something with the Graviton Surge, but they don't get the play of the game. Like the Pharah gets the play of the game. Yep. It's like, yeah, she used her Q and got it, but she wouldn't have been able to kill them all if the Zarya hadn't set her up like that. So I wish there was a way that you could say this person deserves it more, and then they would get it instead. But I don't know how that would happen.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how they decide on play of the game, but I feel the same way. Like, I'll be playing Zarya or I'll be playing Mei, and I'll get everyone like frozen in one place so that then the D.Va can come in and explode everyone. And the play of the game is always the D.Va, basically.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I don't know, it's cool if it's you, but a lot of the time I'm just like, oh, it's D.Va. Oh, it's Junkrat dropping a tire off a roof.
Yeah.
How much talent did that take?
I think it's a lot of fun, but I was convinced that the system was adding favor to kills against me. So I actually started compiling a supercut of every time a play of the game was a kill against me. I haven't finished it yet. But...
Oh, that sounds funny. And then the other sort of, I guess, player feedback thing is at the end. Is it MVP that you're voting for in the end? What is it?
Well, actually, it's just kind of like a fun thing. It's supposed to be like kind of a social thing. Like, this is a neat stat. If you get 5 or 10 votes, the game makes it look like it's a really important thing, but it has no bearing on you whatsoever.
Right. Okay. Because I kind of wondered, because sometimes, like, I'll be up there for some random thing, like, shields apply to Zarya, and it's like, that's super easy. Like, that doesn't really mean that I did good.
But yeah, it's just something to socialize with the other people in the game. To kill a few minutes while the game is before it shows you your stats.
Yeah.
All right. I wasn't totally clear on what the point of that was.
It's just like, yeah, just an extra thing, really. There'll be times, like, it kind of supplements play of the game almost, where the person that gets play of the game might not necessarily get the votes. Like, then you can vote for somebody else because the play of the game person already got the recognition. And then you can, like, give the votes to, like, a Mercy or something who, you know, their play of the games are very rare.
Support your support.
Mm-hmm. It's always good to get votes when you're support because you're like, oh, they noticed me.
That's what I'll usually do. I'll do the healer on my team. If there's no one on my team, I will pick whoever killed me most.
I don't vote out of spite if there's nobody on my team. Sometimes I'll vote for the enemy team, but only if they were, like, really good.
Or I'll vote for the other team if the person who did well was a jerk on my team.
Yes, that too, yeah. Spite voting is the best way to do it.
Okay, so speaking of sort of that aspect of the game and how it's not really explained, one thing that I've always sort of had, I don't know, against Blizzard is that, or against, and they're not the only ones who do this, but they don't really teach you how to play the game. Like, there's the initial tutorial, which starts out so simplistic that it's like, hey, have you never played a computer game before? Here's how you move forward. But they don't really tell you how to play specific characters, what different things mean. Like, for example, I had no idea how to use all those sprays that I got for, like, a week. I had no idea what button to push to use them.
Yeah.
Or the overtime that you sometimes get, I didn't know what caused overtime, what made it extend, what made it end. I didn't know what it meant to be on fire. Like, does it make you do more damage?
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about this. And you're absolutely right. There is nothing in there that tells you about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like, Blizzard specifically has a tendency to rely on their fans to create all this information for them, and they don't actually, like, give you instructions on things that, you know, you can play through the game without knowing what these things are, and you can still, you know, have fun, but it is something that you should probably understand at some point.
Yeah, I agree entirely. I'm not sure how I mean, even a game mode. If you, in the training, they could just say, like, this is a payload. Follow it. It moves forward. If you're attacking on payload, it actually heals you. A lot of people didn't know that for ages.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it does.
And not if you're defending, but if you're attacking. Yeah. And so little things like that, they don't teach
staying
you.
Staying on the payload is so good. And a lot of people just, like, whip around all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like the only reason that I knew how to play it all before the game actually came out was because I was in the beta. And I had people that were, like, explaining it to me in the game. And they were like, oh, yeah, you do this. And, oh, like, you do this. And then when you get into when the game actually came out, and it's like, why don't you know how to do that? So, I don't know.
So that's
a good
point.
You're right about the players ending up doing the labor. Like, there's, you know, Reddit threads and guides and stuff. And a lot of people go there or to other places to figure out what different things mean, or they hear it from other people. It's not actually, like, said in the game.
Yeah, I just feel like that's sort of a little bit of a something missing. I mean, you can Google it or whatever, but, like, there should be a little, like, a help section or whatever in-game where you can learn about what exactly all these things are.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about the quick play and competitive mode. The other mode available is the weekly brawls. How do people feel about the brawls? Do you do them much?
The brawls, first explanation, I guess. If you don't play the brawls, Blizzard sets up a weekly event where with a custom game with random rules. Like a few weeks ago, there was you get all the tank characters, the big beefy characters, and Ana, who heals them. And just see how well you can do and capture the flag, or capture the point maps there. This week, it's Lucio Ball, or Lucio Ball, however you want to pronounce his name. And basically Rocket League in Overwatch.
It's so fun.
It's a lot of fun. It is. And I think they're a lot of fun. Usually, there was one a few weeks ago where it was just Edgelord and McCree and someone, was it?
Roadhog?
Or Junkrat. And that one wasn't as fun to me, so I just didn't play it much. But it's a nice short little thing to escape from the normal game.
Yeah, I really like the brawls. The first one that I did was when I was on PlayStation, and everyone was a soldier. So I find that the brawls are actually really good for learning new characters to play. Like, after I played a few matches where everyone was a soldier, I understood soldier and what I was supposed to do and how to play against him. Same with when it was the one with Ana and all the tanks. I had never really played any tanks before, so that made me gave me a much better understanding of the tanks. I find, like, when there's a smaller pool of characters to choose from, then you get to you learn more than when it could be any of the 22 of them.
Yeah.
We did have a question from Raids on Twitter, who I always pronounce as Raids,
so
which
I.
is apparently wrong, I think it is Raids. And he asked, what would you like to see as a future brawl?
I hadn't thought about it until I'd heard, I think it was Jeff Kaplan, one of the designers of Overwatch. He said they're looking at testing an all Tracer map on a special Tracer.
Oh, Jesus.
On a map specifically made for Tracer for the brawl. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Because Tracer is actually a character where it's usually the better Tracer is the one who wins in a Tracer versus Tracer. Mm-hmm. And so one of the characters actually shows, like, a big difference of skill when you're playing against another Tracer. And so that's kind of neat, but also really painful, because I know there are so many Tracers who are way better than me.
Yeah, it sounds like it could take a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
With all the Tracers.
I don't know. Like, there's been a couple that I've really liked already. Like, the reduced cooldown one.
Oh, yeah.
That was really fun, because I played, I think, Pharah pretty much the whole time and never touched the ground. and it was awesome. I'm really bad at being, like, creative, because there's, like, the ones that are in there are ones that I've liked already, like the I think there was one that was just Pharah and Mercy.
Oh my god, that was painful but fun. It took so long.
Yeah. But it was like, that's what, like, those characters can do. So you got to see kind of, like, you know, how well Farah and Mercy work together. And then the one that makes you swap characters every time you die is kind of annoying, but kind of cool, because then you get forced into different characters that you're not used to playing. More like Lucille Ball, where it's not about, like, killing the enemy team, but more about, like, accomplishing a different goal together. Like, Lucille Ball is so much fun.
Yeah, I like that idea. Get away from the main objectives and just do something goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that idea, too. That sounds good. I think it would be kind of cool to have, like, only support, or... I'm trying to think of some good combo with Mei. Like, Mei and...
I know there's been one with Mei. I don't remember what it was.
I mean, neither.
Like, all just, like, really close range characters.
Get Winston in there.
Yeah.
And Zarya has a long range one, so that wouldn't work. Reaper, maybe. Symmetra.
Yeah. Just Symmetra. Just Symmetra and Mei circling around each other.
All Symmetras. All Symmetra maps.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
There's a bunch of microwaves set up everywhere.
Yeah.
Actually, what I'd really like is an all Mercy map, because then I would have to learn that I have to use my pistol sometimes. Oh, because yeah. I, like, never use my pistol when I'm on Mercy. I feel like damage boosting someone else would be much more efficient. So that would teach me a new skill.
I didn't used to use the pistol until I have a Naga, so it's just the number 2 button, so I just hit the 2 on the side of the mouse, and it makes it a lot easier to swap.
Being a battle Mercy is so much fun. I had a match the other day where no one would stand near me at all. I'm like, all right, fine. We're going to get this pistol out. We're just going to start shooting 2. And I had this Roadhog on the other team, this big, huge guy, tons of hit points, so salty at me because I killed him as Mercy. And he starts calling me out. It's like, hey, Mercy, why don't you try healing your own team?
Maybe if they stood near me, jeez.
It was a beautiful thing. So yeah, get your pistol out and just start shooting. It also helps build your ult charge more. Mm-hmm. Much faster than healing.
Okay, so we have some questions that are going to sort of spawn into other discussions, I think. The first one comes from Orkchop, and it is, ¿Quién es Sombra?
So Blizzard does this really cool thing when they announce new heroes. Blizzard ARG, or Blizzard, just ARG, which is an alternative reality game, I think. Mm-hmm. What they do is they put hints in a lot of their media about the new hero that's coming up. And there's one for this new character who's, we're all assuming, they have announced it's Sombra, but we don't know anything about her. And a lot of things have been lots of speculation. Like, I think she's Hispanic. People are suspecting that she's going to be like a stealth character based on a lot of hints that Blizzard have put in their videos and whatnot. And so right now there's a huge, huge collection or gathering of people trying to figure out all the information they can about who she is before Blizzard actually announces her.
Yeah, it's been hard to follow because I don't really know a lot about like decoding things and like looking at hints inside of, like, they included like a binary code something.
People
that
are...
got, or a hex code that got turned into a binary code or something, and then another thing that somebody turned into a QR code that gave more hints, but like just looking at it looks like a mess of like black and white lines. And then now they're looking at like what apparently was like a sky code in the sky, so on one of the maps, I think it's King's Row. I don't remember exactly. And you look up into the sky, and the sky texture is different, and so they take the picture and then, like, transpose it on something, and right now they've turned it into a song. and it's, like, it's just a bunch of different notes, but when it's played, like, at certain tempos, it sounds kind of cool. And then there's, like, a compass clue that goes along with it, because in the latest video, when each character that was represented with their new skin has, like, a directional thing behind them somewhere. some people are like looking at those directions and trying to solve the latest one, which I think is Tracer, when she blinks in the new Summer Games video, there's a code in the blink. So people paused it, got the code, and now they're trying to solve it. It's somebody's like base 60, I'm going to say it wrong, like base 64 code, and then there's like a salted hash password. And I don't know anything about it, but it's so cool to watch people like solve it and talk about it. And like once this character eventually gets released, I can't wait to find out like what exactly she does.
Oh, I know, right? Some people are based on some voice clue or sound files that people have found, they're thinking her alt might be like she can sneak with no one can see her. Because various characters, they say something like "there's someone here" or "something's different," and so I think that's kind of neat. And all these hex stuff and tech stuff, people are thinking she's like a hacker type person. Oh, or something like
cool.
that.
So,
yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I really like reading about these alternate reality games, although I have never participated
one.
I don't even know how people think to do these things.
Yeah, so clever. Like, it's really neat to see everybody like working together to figure it out. There's like a big Reddit thread that they're talking about it. There's like a Discord channel where people are talking about it and like going over all the possible clues. It's just, yeah, it's really cool. So we don't know who she is, but hopefully we'll find out.
Yeah, I think that people were originally thinking that, because I know there's something in one of the maps that has a picture of what we now know is Anna, and people thought that was Sombra.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be cool to have a stealth character, although that sounds terrible to play against.
Oh, I know, right? But, yeah. Bad enough when you can't find Tracer, who just sneaks around to the point.
Yeah, yeah. All you hear is, like, her giggles as she runs by you, and you're like, where'd she go?
So speaking of Sombra, people have sort of created a lot of their own lore and stories for character. Blizzard has done some shorts, whether it's like a comic short or an actual animated short that shows different characters and things. But in terms of what's actually presented in-game about either story or characters, it's actually quite limited. So what do you think about how that's done? Do you like that it's limited in game, since it's sort of hard to show story in online FPS game? Like, do you like having to go elsewhere to find out, or do you wish they could incorporate that more in game?
At this point, like, well, I have done all the digging, and so, but it doesn't affect me much. But I think it would be really cool. And there's a hero gallery in game. They could put a write up. Or video, or links to information about that character in game without taking away anything from the game itself. Otherwise, otherwise you're just in this quasi futuristic world where you're just shooting other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like even each payload map has a story, but you don't see it in game at all.
Yeah, like I learned the other day, one of the payloads is the Doomfist from that first cinematic that Reaper and Widowmaker are trying to steal.
Yep.
And I didn't know that. And I was like, that is actually kind of cool. And I wish I did know that.
The worst one is King's Row. If you're on the attacking side where you're trying to deliver the payload, you're actually delivering an EMP bomb to the sewers where a bunch of Omnics are hiding out away from the hate that they get on the surface level.
Oh my god. Oh. That's terrible.
Yeah, so I don't want to attack ever.
Wow. Okay.
So now you know.
Now I'm going to feel bad every time I win. I won't feel bad because I'm winning. So.
Right. So you can actually see at the end, if you win, you'll see a huge pulse leave the bomb. And that's exactly. It's like, think of your Zenyatta helping out. Deliver this payload.
And then he's dead.
Yep.
And then he dies. Wow. Yeah, I wish there was something more in game, because I won't go outside of the game to learn things. Like I'll watch the animated shorts because those are cool. But like I'm not gonna go other places to read it. So it would be nice if there's just like a, yeah, as you said, a glossary, like a little description of every hero, maybe a little description of every map, which could combine both lore and what the hell are you supposed to do in this map.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I've seen a lot of people on Twitter especially saying that they wish they knew more about the game, and that they want to be able to play it, but because it's only like PvP, they're like, well, I guess I won't end up playing the game. And they're like, I could get a story mode out of it if that was part of it, and then you could learn a little more about it. But I wish there was something in the game, at least, like a jumping off point that says, maybe go look here and find out a little more. Because right now all we have is kind of Twitter updates of when new comics are coming out or new shorts are coming out. And if you're not somebody that's like tapped into all where all that information comes from, you're not going to know any of the cool stuff like about character backgrounds or what they might be up to now. Because the fighting in the game right now, that's not like canon. That's just an extra thing. So the actual lore and the story is completely different than the game that we're given.
Oh yeah, like a good share of the characters aren't even in Overwatch or never were, which was an organization set up to help humanity. It's like, you would never know that. You have no idea what this even means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, I think a story mode would also be really good. Like, it doesn't even have to be a full sort of single player campaign, but what is it? I think it's the newest Street Fighter has like a little story mode for each character where it just ends up basically being some battles strung together by some little story bits. But if they had that for every character where, you know, you learned how to play them a little bit and you learned a little bit about them, I think that would be a really good addition.
That's brilliant.
That's a good way to tie those two things together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because there could definitely be more tutorial about how to play the game.
Absolutely. Especially different characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or how cool it is that Zarya, the only reason she has a big gun is before the fight, she ripped it off a tank.
Yeah. And like, D.Va's the professional StarCraft player, and she has a mech because they built one for her so she could fight Omnix. Like, that's cool.
And she live streams her playing and fighting, which is kind of creepy and morbid, too.
Watch me kill these people. L2P, actual people.
Okay, so when we're talking about lore and characters, Blizzard said a while ago, and this ties into a question from MTO All Pro, Overwatch dev said that there is one queer character in the current roster. Who do you think it is?
See, I know Blizzard is wrong about that. Actually,
because they're all queer?
Yeah, they're all queer, and all the women are for me. They're like, queer for me. Mm-hmm. Especially Zarya.
Yeah. See, I think that's the thing. My answer is like, everyone. Everyone loves everyone.
They are all non-binary.
Yes. I kind of hope that, like, if it is just one character that they're going to somehow introduce as queer, that I kind of hope it's not Zarya, just because it's, like, sort of like the obvious one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're running into dangerous territory where like, you assume that a character is gay based on, like, specific tropes or something like that. So it's, like, that's a weird statement for Blizzard to put out, but again, their like track record with like dealing with social issues like that has been pretty bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen people be like, oh yeah, it's Zarya is like an FU to Russia's anti-LGBT thing, and I was like, I kind of don't think Blizzard's gonna go there.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
How do you feel just sort of in general about Blizzard's saying that there are gay characters in Overwatch and then just never talking about it again?
Cop out.
Yeah, it's a total cop out.
It's a cop out.
It's the same. Yeah. Apparently there's some speculation that Symmetra is somewhere on the autism spectrum. It's alluded to in a comic, but they don't flat out say it. And so, like, you're kind of doing a disservice because, like, it's nice feeling that you're represented and you're represented by someone who's, you know, as the world sees as kind of normal, and it's not a big deal. Maybe that their character isn't that character because they are autistic or because they are gay. It just is a feature. And I wish Blizzard would just like, yep, this is a thing. They're still cool.
Mm-hmm.
And nope, they're just doing a cop-out. Like, nah, you can just speculate. We're not ever going to tell you.
Yeah, we'll let you guys do the work figuring it out. And then we'll come in and be like, oh, yeah, you were right. Mm-hmm. Or, no, you were wrong.
And all the femme slash and slash proves that everyone is gay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So much good slash, guys. I'm not even kidding.
Pharmacy. And
yes.
I've seen Junkrat and Roadhog. I've seen Junkrat and May. And oh, goodness. I think everyone's been together with everyone.
Yeah.
Do you think there's an ideal way that Blizzard, if they finally go there, could introduce this? Like, in whether it's sort of in outside content or if it's like voice lines in game, because you know, you don't want it, we're just like, I'm gay. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just asked you what time it was, like, I don't care.
I don't care that it's by noon. Yeah. Because
it's, oh my god, it's by noon.
Sorry, I had to.
It's beautiful. I had not heard that. I think the best way is to be outside a game in their lore at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could have done something at launch, but at this point it's just be like, oh, you're just doing that to cater to the SJWs and all this crap that dude's going to bitch about.
I feel like they almost have to do it with a character they haven't introduced yet.
Yeah.
And then they can introduce it, and one of their voice lines could be like, it could be a male character, and their voice line could be, well, my husband took me here once. And it can just be something as simple as that. And, I'm not, like, LGBT at all, so it's hard for me to speculate how that would be ideal, like, for something like that to happen.
No, I think that's a great way. It's similar to how Star Trek did with, Sulu.
Yeah, with Sulu. That was so good.
Uh-huh. So it's just a thing. It wasn't a, this is his character, he is gay, he is his character because he is gay.
Mm-hmm.
And no, just have something on the side. I think that's a great way to do it.
Yeah. And I think voice lines would be cute too. Like, I think
would love voice
Blizzard lines. Blizzard could totally pander to everyone this way with just characters like flirting with each other before the battle starts.
I want that so bad.
One of my favorite tweets is from a friend of mine who we were picking on someone who was picking on queer things in Overwatch. And so he makes this tweet, Soldier talking to Reaper. He's like, you first. And Reaper's like, why? And Soldier's like, I just like the way you run. Or just like watching you run, something like that. It's like, yeah, this is great.
I need it in my life so bad.
All right, so moving on to other hot topics. This one is also from MTO All Pro. Are Overwatch skins cultural appropriation? Oh. And I assume these are specifically referring to Pharah and
Roadhog.
Symmetra. Oh, and Roadhog Zenyatta. Skins.
Some of Zenyatta's. God, like the list goes on and on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For examples of these four here, I pull them up here. We got Zenyatta, who's got the Jin. Is that Jin? How do you pronounce that?
Yeah, I think so.
Skin, where it's like, really? Did you, like, I get you're kind of going for this peaceful, graceful thing, but that didn't, no, it's not appropriate. Or we have Pharah, who has her Thunderbird and other one, where it basically looks like a totem.
Mm-hmm.
A totem pole and like a mishmash of various Native American cultures or First Nations cultures. Like, what are you doing here? Or Roadhog, he's got Toa skins where they're making not poking fun at, but they're borrowing from Native Islander, a mishmash of Islander cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And Symmetra here has her Devi and goddess where they kind of mishmash various goddesses in, I think, Hindu.
Think so, yeah.
Hindu
religions. And it's like, mm-hmm. I've got a few of these and I never use them. Like, no, I am not going to use these skins that I feel are terrible.
The interesting thing about one of the Symmetra skins is one of the religious leaders wrote an open letter to Blizzard asking them to like remove it from the game.
That's right.
So, I mean, when it gets to that point, you should probably look at what you're doing. Like, regardless of how much time was spent on them or how they look. Because, like, in typical Blizzard fashion, they're gorgeous. Like, they look amazing. Like, they're super polished. But the way that they're done is not, like, it's not right. Especially the Faro ones. Those, I saw them, like, they were released, and I opened up my account, and I was like, oh, man, Faro got two new skins. And I scrolled down, and I looked at them, and I was just like,
yeah. Yeah.
They're, like you were saying before, they're, like, pieces of art taken from different, like, Native American tribes. Like, I think our guest, when we had Dia Lucina on, we mentioned before that she's written quite a bit about Faro skins in particular. And they're, like, they're all different styles that don't, that aren't really supposed to be going together. And, like, and Faro's not, she's not Native American.
No, she's Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, like, it's, I don't understand where that came from. And then I've heard people making, like, the really weak argument that, oh, maybe her father is Native American. Like, that wouldn't make it any better.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a big issue that there's all these sort of indigenous costumes, but no indigenous characters mm-hmm. in the game. I don't know. I feel most strongly about the sort of First Nations type yeah. thing, especially if you're not going to actually represent them in the game in a respectful manner, then maybe just leave their shit alone.
Right.
Because yeah. they've been fucked over forever and continue to be fucked over. So, yeah. like, give them back their land and then maybe you can borrow their culture as a costume. But until then, stop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's our opinion. Smack it up, Blizzard.
Yeah, they're tough. Like, there's a lot to say on it. By people who are much more articulate and good at talking about it than mm-hmm. we are. But they, yeah, a lot of the skins, like, they are definitely appropriating that culture and they're using it as a costume and they're taking, like, the most stereotypical parts of it and putting it on a character that has nothing to do with it.
Oh.
So, hell. It's bad. Right.
It's for Farah. If they wanted to go for a bird of prey kind of thing, they could have done that, like an actual bird and not a...
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. And they could have taken, like, even, like, the jackal skins that she has they're so good. And they fit with, like, where she's from. And it's, like, if you could take, like, the bird head from the canopic jar. Like, you could use that as inspiration for a skin there.
Yeah.
And then you could have a bird of prey easy, no problem. And, like, I don't understand why they don't bring in people to consult on this kind of stuff. Or if they think that they have, like, who are they talking to?
Yeah.
Are they talking to anybody? Like, do they have, like, who's the person that goes over the final, like, art pass and says, oh, yeah, this is fine? Like, I want to know. Like, the easiest way to do it would be to consult with people from those cultures and artists from those cultures, and then you can involve them and they can make you something that would be okay, but you have to collaborate with those people first instead of just going off what you think is okay.
Yeah, it was a big failing on their part. They could have done so much better.
Yeah, because I know they've got the talent there and they're mm-hmm. very creative and they've come up with a lot of really good, creative, fun skins, so they could just, you know, keep being imaginative rather than just sort of borrowing here and there from other cultures that aren't actually represented in the game.
Yeah. It's just lazy. And yeah. And they're better than that. And they should be trying better and doing better.
Right.
So yeah. That's what I have to say about that.
Okay. So we've got some more just general questions here. I guess I'll go through them. Okay. Here's a question from Mako Fury. Can Anna solo heal, or will she always work better to spot heal along with a Lucio?
Having successfully solo healed, she can do it. It is much tougher. It takes a lot of work and a lot of careful planning where you're going to stand, and you have to have a team that's working together with you. If you're just a drop-in, it's going to be much more difficult.
Yeah. But I think she can solo heal. Of course, I also get, like, super defensive now that everyone bugs me about playing Anna. So even someone was bothering someone else for choosing Anna in a group, and I was just, like, kept jumping in to defend them. Being like, Anna's fine. Shut up. She's fine.
Let them play.
But, I mean, compared to, like, say, a Zenyatta or something, she... I mean, Zenyatta can only heal one person at a time.
Yep. Yeah.
Anna can only heal one person at a time unless they're grouped up, and then she can heal a bunch. I feel like she can solo heal. I mean, having a Lucio or another healer in there is good to make use of that healing increase grenade. But I think between the healing, which can be quite strong, and the other utility of, like, sleeping people to reduce damage, I think she can solo heal.
She does synergize very well with other healers, especially Zenyatta and Lucio, but she can totally do it herself. The thing is, she has a completely different skill set compared to the other healers. For Mercy, you just have to kind of point in the general direction. Same with Zenyatta. And Lucio, you don't have to do a single thing other than make sure you're in heal mode. Whereas her, you actually
Lucio's
have to...
my dude.
For her, you actually have to point at the person you're healing unless you're doing the grenade. And that can take...
You gotta hit them, too.
That's right. You have to hit them. And I don't know how many times I've been aiming at someone to heal, or even an enemy to shoot, and a teammate has run in front of it and taken the heal. So yeah, she has a different skill set, but I think she can solo heal as long as you have a group that's working well together.
I haven't played on it yet, so I don't know.
You still haven't played her?
No.
The sniper thing scared me at first, but I realized you don't really use the scope much unless you have someone far away.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah, she usually gets picked first in the games I've been in, or it's been like, okay, we're on a map, and I already know that, you know, Lucio works really well on here, it's a capture point, it's fine, or, like, Mercy is good here, and I'm like, I'll just pick the one that I'm good at. But I should try her, because, like, when she came out, I remember it, when everybody was just talking about her on Twitter, and the excitement was so palpable. So yeah, maybe I'll try and play her a bit today.
Do it.
Yeah, you should try her.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next question comes from Wax Tweets, who asks, who are the Overwatch team members most likely to listen to your podcast?
D.Va.
I like this question.
I would say May, because she's always learning, and I'm sure she would be very interested in all the genius things that we have to say.
Yeah, yeah. And while she's, like, tinkering on Snowball, she can, like, listen to it in the background. Yep. I like that. I like all of them.
Especially Reaper.
Especially, oh, yeah.
Especially Reaper.
Yeah, you know what? He's, like, trying to learn a little bit more about how to be a good person. So he's like, oh, listen to this podcast. It's good. Or
he
maybe
doesn't,
Torbjorn,
like,
a forced Torbjorn to listen.
He doesn't, like, write in and be like, I can't tell your voices apart. You laugh too much.
Actually, you know what? He might be that person.
Oh, Tor, every time he starts the podcast, he says, I foresee great things for you.
Yeah.
I think they'd like... I'm trying to think of who else seems like a podcast listener. Lucio. Lucio could, like, do if he could mix it in with his music.
Yeah. D.Va, she's very techie.
Oh, for sure.
Macaria, he's out in the Old West, dishing out justice, listening to podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Winston, too. I feel like anybody that could put it on in the background of, like, whatever they're tinkering on, that they could...
While they're making calibrations.
Yeah. Like Garrus.
Yeah. Garrus would listen.
Yeah. So there's an extra tidbit of who else would listen.
Okay. The next question comes from T12. How quickly do they have to push updates to keep you interested, and how awesome would the Titan MMO have been?
Updates? I mean, every few weeks to make sure it balances, but still, I'm like, I've been going in this whole hog, pun for those who know, since launch, and I've been enjoying it ever since. But then I also have I have an interest in this. Like, I think this is going to be the next big thing to keep it up. So, and this is, for whatever reason, this has just taken over my life. This is all I do now, pretty much. So I know a different experience is going to be different for other people.
Personally, I don't want updates that often. Like, I don't want a ton of new characters. Like, I signed on to Heroes of the Storm for the first time in a couple months, and I saw, Lord, since I last played, there were 4 new characters, and I was just like, oh, I don't have time for this, so I just turned it off. So, I mean, I don't want it where, like, if I don't play for a month, all of a sudden I have to relearn things and have a whole bunch of new stuff to discover. Like, the occasional new character is good. I don't really want there to be 70 characters to choose from. A new map type, or maybe like a new game type, would be good eventually, but like, I don't want constant updates where I feel like I'm missing out if I don't play for a little bit. Like, yeah. I want to be able to just jump right back in.
Have they said how many characters they want to eventually have?
I don't think they put a cap on that.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be a little worried about them making a lot more than what we have now. I mean, it is cool to see new characters. I'd be worried that they would have so many that they're going to have trouble balancing it.
But they can't balance 10, 11 classes in Warcraft, let alone, or 12 now. Yeah.
Warcraft is a whole other beast, okay?
It is. I tease. I love Warcraft.
I think like one character a year after this first push is all I would want to see, but not more than that.
I would say maybe a little more than that, like maybe one or two. As long as there ends up being like new like skins and stuff, like the Summer Games promo right now, you can't buy any of the skins with coins, like the currency in the game, but eventually the Summer Games will be coming back. I think next summer is what they said. They kind of want to make it a yearly event. Yeah. Where you can always get new stuff. I think that's cool. I like being able to make the characters that we currently have. I like being able to buy skins for them. But I mean, I'll probably like keep playing it for a long time. I don't see any reason to stop unless like a bunch of my friends are like, this game sucks now, let's go play another one. But yeah, I don't know. I think like they've been doing pretty good pushing like balance updates lately. Like, they changed the way McCree worked, they changed the way D.Va's defense shield worked, and like they both feel better to play and to play against, which is nice. So I don't know, as long as they kind of keep the update system that they have now, I think that's good enough.
Yeah, more skins.
Yeah, definitely,
and not
more
culturally
skins.
Inappropriate ones.
No. Don't do that anymore. And then as for the Titan MMO,
oh yes,
I don't know. I don't know if it would have been awesome.
Apparently, it wasn't. That's why we got Overwatch.
Yeah.
If this had come out as an MMO, I would never have played it. No. So
Like, I feel like I would have played it for a bit and then not played it ever again.
Same here. After 10 years of grinding out WoW, anything that has grind in it, I'm instantly shut off now. It's like, I've only been recently been able to go back into WoW because I'll like do quests and see that kind of content, but I have no interest in raiding or whatever to get the next best thing anymore.
Yeah, I think like, I don't think they would have had as much success with a new MMO that they are having now with Overwatch.
Agreed.
As it is. So I think they made the right decision. And I don't think that another MMO from Blizzard would be good. Sorry!
MMOs have kind of faded out too. Like, they had that heyday in the aughts, or in the noughts. And MMO is not the way to go anymore. Like, you can have mild success, but not the same.
Okay, so the last question comes from our friend Sarah, Sarah and WoW. Do you think the hype momentum will last? Is this the next eSport?
This was my question to Sabriel, because I'm curious about the eSports side of it.
The hype momentum? Because I've already seen Twitter doesn't talk about it nearly as much as launch, but what's to be expected. But the eSport thing, I think it has a lot of potential here. I've been watching, almost daily, I've been watching streams of sports going on and kind of hoping maybe one day I can actually partake in behind the scenes somewhere. Not as a player, but something to do with the sport. Because I think it's really fun to watch It's really fun to see the metagame of what the pros are going to be doing and what they do and how they react to situations. But one thing right now that's kind of problematic is, well, maybe it's not, but to me it's it's constantly, well, okay, we have just a few different map types. I think they need to do some variation, and no, I don't know what kind yet. But a lot of the matches feel exactly the same because you're picking the same heroes. The same six or seven heroes are constantly in rotation from week to week. Mm. And there's not a bunch of variation yet. But the game is very new too. So I can't wait to see how things are in a few months to see what exactly is going to change. So I think this is going to be a really big thing coming up. We have to wait to see how long it's going to take to do that.
Yeah. I wonder, like, how their support system is going to work, because I've seen kind of how they've tried to do Heroes of the Storm. And it started out, I think, really strong, and now I feel like we hear a lot less about it. Even though it is still happening, like, behind the scenes. I'm just, like, really curious to see if like, especially, like, spectating it, like, it seems... I've heard some complaints about, like, how the camera moves in, like, especially for casters.
Absolutely. The spectating for casters is kind of a pain. They don't get a lot of cool tools. I know some people have been confused because the colors of the teams... They are constant, and people are like, well, attack should always be blue and defense should always be red, or things like that. Or some abilities don't show up because, as casters, if something's through a wall, or even if they're just casting because they're not a player, the abilities don't look quite the same. And so it's harder to cast. Like, oh, this person's doing this thing. The only hint they have of that is if the casters hear it, because all the characters like announce the when they're doing a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are some problems with it, and hopefully Blizzard will address it. They said they're going to, but we don't have a timeline at all.
Hmm. It's interesting, this thing that, like, especially Blizzard, where, like, every game that they've made has kind of turned into an esport, or they're, like, getting into the esport version of what their game is.
And yet they can't seem to excel at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
WoW had that with their PvP for a bit. You still see the what's it, what the heck is that? Arena mode. Tournament at BlizzCon. StarCraft 2. It's huge, but we don't hear much about it at all anymore. HOTS, yeah, kind of wavering. And Overwatch, outside of my small circle, I don't know how much you hear about it either.
It's very little. Like, I feel like... what was it? BlizzCon announced, like, the BlizzCon Cup or whatever, Overwatch thing. There's like a World tournament Cup. That's going to be happening. Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of the first I've heard about any esports stuff for Overwatch.
Goodness,
except for maybe, like, was it Shaquille O'Neal that, like, convinced two dudes to join his team? Yeah, so I've heard that.
It's so weird seeing Shaq talk about esports.
Yeah. But, like, that is all I have heard or seen, and that's, like, part of that is because I don't really follow, like, the esports scene for, like, for FPS, like, shooter games. Mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like they could be doing a better job of promoting it, for sure.
Absolutely. Blizzard, get on this. What are you doing?
Hire Sabriel, she'll help.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have, no knowledge of esports at all, but I think just in general hype, momentum, and longevity, I think one thing Blizzard does have is fangirls and boys, and their games definitely have legs. I mean, WoW, Hearthstone, Diablo.
Oh yeah,
people are still playing all those things. So I don't think we have to worry about Overwatch going away or becoming less popular anytime soon, even if maybe people aren't so vocal about it on social media and things. So that, I think, wraps up our Overwatch discussion, unless anyone has anything we've missed.
No. Just follow me. All I talk about Overwatch is all I do.
All right. And where can people follow you?
Oh, yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at SabeReality. Or you can just go to sabriel.me. It's my website that has links to all my socials if you don't want to try to spell Sabriality.
All right. And Riley?
You can find me at Clary on Twitter.com. So K-A-L-E-R-I with an underscore.
And you can find me at Jasyla underscore, J-A-S-Y-L-A underscore, or on YouTube, where my channel is called Cannot Be Tamed. If you have any feedback, questions, people, or topics you'd like to hear on future episodes of the show, you can reach out at MediaMavensCast@gmail.com or contact us on Twitter at underscore Media Mavens. If you like the show, please leave us reviews on iTunes or Stitcher. It's been a while since we've got any new reviews, so you should review us because we like to read them, and they help us out a lot. Thank you, Sabriel, for coming on and talking to us about Overwatch.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And I think that's it for now. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. It was, again, a good game that I can just play while, like, something's on the television, since it's not too, words, not in my brain. not too, no, it's gone. Okay, I'm just going on the next thing.
Edit it out.
Yeah.